Luke 9:45.
Yesterday we studied 44. Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. And the sink down is directly related to let the word become flesh. Verse 45, but they they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Why would they be afraid to ask him what that meant?
They should have already known.
Yeah, they got chewed out every other time.
Yeah.
The one thing that we've seen so thus far in Luke is how many times Jesus really sets into the disciples. All right, but they understood not. Understand not is agnoio, and it means they didn't even understand with their mind, much less understand spiritually. It was hid from them. It was covered over. Parakalupto is hid. Let's go to...
I have an abstract question here. I think it's, at this point it's like the reason Jesus had to go was so Father could send the Spirit, and it's like it's as if the Holy Spirit in this frame wasn't active or something. Because
no, he was totally active, but he was active completely and totally in the person of Jesus Christ.
But Jesus had to leave, and
before
part of what he said when he left was.
He had to go to the Father, otherwise the Spirit couldn't come. But because he was fully imbued with the Holy Spirit.
That's not the question. It's as if the revelation by the Spirit and the disciples, it's like there's something missing. And that's why he said also, if I don't go, I can't send the Spirit.
Well, let's go to...
Because you say they didn't understand, especially spiritually.
I said they didn't understand even with their mind.
Much less spiritually.
Let's go to... where are we going? I think it's Hebrews. No, 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's just start in verse 1. This is important. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, you are our letter, written in the hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the manifestation of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, whose glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away with, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So it's not just the Jews. The veil is upon the heart of all men. That's what hides the mystery. No matter how many words are spoken, until. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord. Now that turn there means total and complete emptiness. Total and complete repentance. When it shall turn, it meaning the heart, the soul, the sense, the person. When it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. That's pretty intense.
That is.
But that's what's hid. Now, there were people all through the Old Testament that saw his day, starting with Abel. All of the, every prophet in Moses and many that we don't even know about saw his day. And so they were, in that context, born again. But the veil still remains over the heart of all men until the repentance is complete. So that's why it was hid from even the disciples who had now been with him about a year and a half or more. And the veil was still over their heart. Because they hadn't fully repented. And the next section that we read shows how much they hadn't repented, because they got in an argument about who was greatest. So again, it's all about repentance. But the repentance, not of the world that leadeth to sorrow, but the repentance not to be repented of. Once and for all, I present myself a living sacrifice. What happens to me is no longer important. Amen? Any questions? That's a good question you had, but...
No. Well, it exposes the disciples, or just clarified what was going on. They hadn't repented. They couldn't see. They didn't understand.
Okay, let's go to John 16. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, again, the Holy Spirit has always been at work throughout from the beginning of time. But in Christ, he was full, the fullness of the Holy Spirit was in Christ, in that vessel. Because that was the one thing that had to happen. He had to be perfected, and that could only be done in his emptiness to the Father. So he and the Father were one, and that made the Holy Spirit available 24 hours a day. But it was all because of the emptiness of Jesus, the Son of Man.
So, like, did that begin at his birth?
Yes.
Even at his very birth,
right.
He was filled with the Spirit. So, throughout all his upbringing and every test he went through.
Right, the Spirit was there.
The Spirit was still there.
Right. And the Spirit was doing these three things in him, just as he's doing the same three things in you. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. So that was the predicate of all of the Holy Spirit's work in Christ, so that he would be perfected as the way in his emptiness, so that you would be in exactly the same position that Christ was, assuming you do the same thing, that you make yourself of no reputation, you empty yourself to the point of vacuum. But it has to be continuous. But he knows you're going to screw up, so that's why the Holy Spirit is there to do what? No. By the blood, he reveals the blood that cleanses you from the unrighteousness that you go through even as a born-again believer.
Which is part of the testing and proving by contrast.
Right.
But why the gap here? I don't get the gap.
I don't understand what gap you're talking about.
When he has come. I mean, that's an implication that he's not...
Well, he's come, but he's fully occupied in Jesus Christ. When Christ goes to the Father, then he has completed the way, and then the Holy Spirit is released back to the world. To the Holy Spirit, by definition, had to be fully occupied, because his only job ever, the Holy Spirit's only real job, is the revelation of Christ. He's not running around feeling the anointing, and he's not running around doing tricks. He's revealing whatever is necessary, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. But your position as... You just have to know one thing. Either by experience or by empathy, you have to know the emptiness and futility of all human effort, especially your own. And that brings forth what the Bible calls repentance.
Let me see if I can answer one question. And when he has come doesn't really mean there's a time gap. When he is revealed to you,
he was, the Holy Spirit had one job. He was fully occupied in Jesus Christ, in Jesus the Christ. Because he is the vehicle by which Jesus became the Christ.
Even he had to have it revealed.
Right. He had to cause Jesus to see as Son of Man, emptiness, futility, repentance total. And repentance total, baptism. That's right. If you could just see that, you'd quit screwing around and going back into time and space for anything. There's nothing. I mean, if any man love the world, love agapeo, gives breath to anything in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the moment you give importance to that which is in time and space, then the love of the Father leaves, because the love of the Father, again, is revealed in Jesus Christ, who's revealed in the Holy Spirit. There's no middle ground. There's only vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. There's only the whore and the bride. But part of sometimes the bride has on the Babylonian garment. And then the Holy Spirit convicts you to show you that you're not believing on Him. Whenever we had Bible studies for years, no matter what the issue was, Josanna would pipe up and say, "It's because you don't have any faith, damn it.
You don't believe."
You don't believe. And that's basically true all the time.
And she would laugh.
What?
And then she would laugh.
She didn't always laugh.
She laughed one time. And she realized she didn't have to be a good girl.
All right.
We digress.
Understand, going back to Luke, understand not. Because they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them. And what's hiding it? Why was it hidden from them? How was it hidden? It was hidden by the flesh. They were trying to make use of Jesus Christ for something that had to do with them. Amen? Oh, I can use this. Remember my friend working his butt off to get on the senior golf tour, and he was a pro. And I played golf. You know, I played golf all the time when I went back to Arizona. And so we had talked many times. And so his question was, "Holy, how can a professional golfer use this?" I just hit the ceiling.
Are y'all still friends?
He died. Oh. Well, back to Luke, verse 45. That they perceived it not. And they feared to ask him of that saying. He didn't want to get chewed out again. And then there arose a reasoning among them of which should be greatest. So Jesus was right in chewing him out. Reasoning is dialogismos. And it just means, it doesn't mean that they were arguing necessarily, but it could be. But they were just questioning. And they weren't doing it out loud, apparently. They were doing it in their mind. Yeah, greatest just means it's the greatest in any group. It's maison. It just means, you know, the biggest, the greatest, whatever, in any group. Okay, then in verse 47, and Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive, not this spider." I felt something drop in my head earlier. It must have been that spider.
Sit inside.
Now, what? He's there right there now.
Focus.
Rolls up into a little ball. Alright.
Spiders in the
Lord.
spiders who interrupt Bible study. Perceiving the thoughts of their heart, it just means entire mental or moral activity is what goes on in the heart. Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Now, shall receive is an interesting word. We're going to spend a lot of time on it. It means, what it means here is to receive into one's family, to bring up or educate and sustain. That's why what we are so-called receive, we are the of the adoption. Remember the word adoption. And we are received by the family of God, and to raise, to educate, to sustain. But the word adoption is this incredible word. It's huiothesios in the Greek, and it means the placing of the fullness of the Son. It's not. Placing the baby or placing the child or placing the young man. It's placing the fullness of the Son within you. Well, that's huge. So again, the only thing that happens in presenting yourself the living sacrifice is that your mind is renewed so you have that mind of Christ, which is total emptiness. But you've got to get rid of the idea that you can get anything about God by learning it. You get it by emptying, by unlearning everything. And that is the issue of all of discipleship. It's not about teaching in the context that our minds would think about it. It's showing by preaching of the cross the emptiness and futility of every possible value system on the face of the earth. Every possible thing that you think is good or wrong or right, that everything goes, is unlearned to the point of a vacuum. Because any place there's a stand or an opinion, then you have prevented, you are impeding the fullness of the Son. But again, it's not that he's being revealed gradually. It's that the moment that the flesh comes back into it, then he goes back to zero. Do you understand that? Anytime you judge another, you fall from the strong city. If you fall from the strong city, you're falling back into time and space. Anytime you think you have a need, you've fallen from the strong city. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's the idyllic place for the lamb. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul when I screw up. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yea, and I've even prepared a feast before you in the presence of your enemies. On and on and on. It's all him. There are no words to express this. That's a good place to stop. Anybody have any response to any of this? Anybody see any more clearly?
It's like what you just did and said, well, it's like that's our whole job, if you will, is to understand that and let it be communicated.
But you can understand it with your mind.
What about when you fall, there's something there that that's where good doctrine makes a difference? Because some people will at that point say, well, now I got to do something, and I got to do penance rather than just see and enter back in. It's a whole other subject.
Well, I mean, it's all the same. A rod and they staff, they comfort me. Now, to say a rod and a staff comfort you is a humongous deal. All right. Take it, big guy.